to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read again just to get our mind going. We're actually going to pick up on our study in verse 19 today. But ever since verse 13 of chapter 5, we are encouraged concerning our liberty and the proper use of our liberty. And then in verse 17, there is a battle that takes place of whether it'll be the spirit or the flesh that works in our life the goal would be to walk in the Spirit, and as verse 18 says, to be led of the Spirit. So just to kind of get all those thoughts back in our mind, in chapter 5 and verse 13 it says, "For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these," and I'll stop there just before I go into that list, just to talk about the things that we said there, is that there is this battle that goes on between flesh and spirit, and the goal, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You don't want a war against the flesh in the sense of verse 17, because once that battle, you trying to fight your flesh, you'll lose, and you're not going to do, you cannot do the things that you would. But, verse 18 says, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And what we were talking about there is that the Holy Spirit, God today, is working in a different way than Israel under the law. The law, while it told them what not to do and some things to do, it could not take the lust out of the heart of man. God today has put His Spirit in man and is working by His Holy Spirit in us, and that Holy Spirit becomes an internal guidance mechanism, motivating, informing, empowering, transforming, and controlling the believer. And the reason that's stated there in verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, and that's the way God is working today, you're not only are you not under the law, but you don't need the law, because the control of the Holy Spirit wouldn't guide you. In that list that I said, not only is the Holy Spirit internal mechanism giving us guidance, there's motivation, but there's also information. And that information isn't out, that information is not just in us because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and uses that to guide and motivate and inform us on how to live and serve and please God. So that when I say inform, I'm not talking some supernatural information that you get in your head. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God, and they go hand in hand. That's part of, we were looking at those words, Spirit, big S, little S, last time, and the same thing is coming up in our Sunday school in Romans chapter 7. And there's not a real problem if you see a small S and a big S, because God's Spirit is working with our spirit. And the Spirit is the seed of intellect, and we're taking God's word where God is working in us spiritually. And certainly, so the point is, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, and you don't need to be under the law, because God's working through His Spirit. The law didn't control those things, but the Spirit of God can. And so we need to learn to yield to the Spirit, and as it started out saying, walk in the Spirit. So, when you get in verse 18, when it says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, there's the statement we were talking about, if you be led of the Spirit, and if you're a believer, you are led of the Spirit. That is how God is working today. But the point of that is, all the verses above that are contrasting two things. There is the law, well, actually, it starts out, it's the flesh, you know, like back up in verse 13, Brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Verse 17, you talk about the battle with the flesh. And then verse 18 says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So it connects flesh and law, because that's what the law did. The law worked externally on the flesh, but it doesn't change the inside of man. And therefore, it'll end in failure. So that word but is connecting those thoughts. When the other part of that is when it talked about walking in the Spirit is connected to being led of the Spirit. And that's the goal of the Christian life. That's how God is working today. And what you have following that then in verse 19 through 21, it's 19 starts out, now the works of the flesh are manifest. So it's going to, here's the flesh, here's the law, and if you live, if you live by the flesh, it's going to be manifested this way. And so he's going to list out the works of the flesh. Then you get to verse 22 and it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. So if you're walk in the Spirit, you're led of the Spirit, there's going to be a fruit that's going to come, not something you manufacture, something that the life of the Spirit of God in you produces in your life, and there's a list of what's going to take place by walking in the Spirit. So today we're going to mostly concentrate, in fact we're not going to finish it just because I got a page of scattered notes that I got to put a little bit more clearer. I told you last time, I was looking at these verses, and I'm thinking to myself, the different places where Paul makes these lists. It's interesting, like for instance in verse 19, let me read 19 through 21. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And now he's going to list the works of the flesh that are manifest. The flesh left to itself is going to, what's going to produce. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I told you, I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then in contrast, the fruit of the Spirit. But we're not going to make it that far. So that he goes through that list. And it's interesting to me to think about, you know, it's one thing, you know, you're reading through the Bible and there's a list and you run through that list. And sometimes you look and you say, well, I know what most of those words mean. I'm not that, you know, my vocabulary is not that big where I understand what all those things are. I have to actually look them up. And when you study verse by verse, you do. But the very fact that the Holy Spirit is guiding the Apostle Paul, and Paul's not just rattling off every word that he could think of that's negative, you know, that's fleshly. This is the Holy Spirit working through the Apostle Paul, telling us the things that the flesh will produce, the works of the flesh that'll be manifest. And so they're deliberately chosen by the Spirit of God. Well, I started thinking about that, and I'm thinking of other lists, and really I'm not trying to, because Paul makes a lot of lists. But the one that comes to my mind, first of all, is in Romans chapter 1, where there's a long list, particularly at the end of chapter 1, after he talks about God giving the Gentiles up, and then last of all, he says, when they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to work that which is unseemly. Thank you. And then it starts naming, it gives a list. I think there's like 22 things in that list. What I did is I listed those out because I just wanted to see how that compared to the Galatians. You know, at a first glance of that, I only seen three that match out of 22. There's 18 there in the Galatian passage. So, and then you get thinking about that, well, there's a different... That list is different because what you're dealing with in Romans chapter 1, it starts out when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. So you're talking about people that once knew God and then turned to their vain imagination and had God giving them up, and then finally giving them over. And the list has to do with that reprobate mind of someone given up by God. And it's a different list than the list of the flesh here. There's another list that interests me. Come to Mark chapter 7. And if I think of the works of the flesh, these would be closer. I got my list listed, but I didn't look at each. This, my purpose in looking at them was just to compare how many are the same, and I didn't do that on this list, but maybe you can do that for homework. But my point is, what is this list about? In Mark chapter 7, in verse 18, this is where, you know, the Pharisees are worried about eating something unclean, and the Lord makes it clear to them. He says in verse 18, and he said unto them, Are ye without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into the heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. So they're worried about them eating something unclean. He said, that's not the problem. That's only going into your belly. The problem is the heart. So he goes on to say, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness. Several I can identify right away here. Evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things are from within and defileth the man. Now that is the fallen, sinful nature of man with the dark, blinded heart. That the Lord lists those things that come out of a man who is depraved. And what's in the heart of man. And so that list is more closer to what the list is in Galatians, in the sense now in Galatians, the works of the flesh are going to be manifest. So the flesh, you're talking about that sinful part of man and what the flesh produces. It'll be manifest in a man's life. So you have these different lists, and they're given for different reasons. Now, like I said, in Paul, my first thought was the list in Romans chapter 1. There's another list in Romans chapter 13, but that final list in that 2 Timothy chapter 3 is interesting to look at those lists. And we'll talk a little bit more about those next week. Today, what I want to do is just go back to Galatians chapter 5. And since there is a mention of 18 things in this list here, I just wanted to take the time to look at that list and look at the things that are going to be manifested that the flesh produces, the works of the flesh, and see what other scriptures have to say about them. So Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And it starts out the very first one, adultery. Yeah, now I'm going to read the second one for the sake of realizing there is a difference between adultery and fornication. They're both in the list. And adultery is that sin that a man would commit or a woman would commit against their mate and with another person. And so there is, when you start out, the first one on that list is adultery, then you're, one of the things that you see immediately is that the manifestation of the flesh is there's going to be a breakdown in a marriage union. And the flesh, if it's allowed to rule, it's going to lead to adultery. Adultery is a breaking down of the marriage union where a person is actually sinning in a sense against themselves in the sense of the purpose that God made marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, you're probably familiar with the passage. It just quotes Genesis. But when it talks about a husband and his wife and their relationship, especially the husband to love his wife, Ephesians 5 verse 28 says, so ought a man to love his wife as his own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Adultery is certainly not going to love your wife, and you're certainly not going to love yourself. There's going to be the sins of the flesh are sins that are destructive to the person himself. But it's also destructive in the sense there's not even the love relationship between a man and wife. So, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh. But the idea of that wife and the man, well, I got to keep reading there. Verse 31 says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So that the very, one of the building blocks of society starts out with, there's first volition, man making some choices, and then the next choice that you come across in the Bible is him having a wife and being joined to that wife. That's the very, you know, Genesis laying out the foundation of society, and immediately, if the flesh operates, there's a breakdown right away in the marriage union, in the very core, a foundation of society. And not only someone who can't be faithful to their mate, but someone who's destroying themselves and all the work of God in society. That's the first one on the list in Galatians chapter 5. You know, it speaks to our society, don't it? Where I don't know where we're at. I know we're past the 50% of divorce rate. How much of that is caused by adultery, I don't know. But I imagine adultery is even higher than the divorce rate because some people don't divorce on adultery. But anyhow, that's the flesh. The flesh going to operate. And by the way, let me say now in case you're wondering, that when we end in Galatians 5 and verse 21 where he says, I tell you before, as I told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When we get to that part of the verse, we'll deal with what's that about. But to me, that what he's talking about is the people that do the list are they that are in the flesh. You learn that we as a believer aren't in the flesh. We've already talked about that. So that phrase, we're not talking about a believer does this, he's now lost his salvation. But you know that's not true because Paul don't teach that. And then some have a different idea what that means. But basically, when it's they, you're talking about lost people. And they only have the flesh to control them, and it'll be manifest in adultery. So that's the first one on the list. So the list is, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. There's first the adultery. Then the second thing on the list is fornication. And you recall the passage in Matthew chapter 5 where the Lord is actually talking about adultery. But he uses that analogy that if a man looks upon a woman to lust, that he's committed adultery already in his mind. Now that would be a man married, lusting after someone else, and the Lord saying, that's already adultery. But fornication is maybe not someone who's married, but someone who fornicates is someone who is committing sexual sins out of a variety of type. It can be premarital sin. It can be all kinds of sin. What's interesting is the word fornication is that word porneia. And that's where we get pornography from. That's why I think about that verse in Matthew chapter 5 about looking upon a woman to lust. So that the reason I bring that to your attention is so that you realize adultery is a specific sin. Fornication is actually would cover a variety of sexual sins. And I'm not even sure there's a whole list of what those are, but there's certainly that is someone who maybe isn't married, but yet practicing sexual impurities. And so that's the second one on the list. The third one on the list, uncleanness. You know, there's a bunch of different ways that the Bible speaks about uncleanness, but it is interesting if you go back to Romans chapter 1. We were talking about that third step, that list that shows up in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 28, going down to verse 31. We'll talk more about that list next week. But before he got to that list, and already introducing the fact that when men knew God, they glorified him not as God. In verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like unto corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves. So it starts out that uncleanness, they're defiling their bodies between themselves. So it is a sin against their own body, as 1 Corinthians talks about, that someone who commits fornication or adultery, that they're actually sinning against their own body. But it goes on to say, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them over to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So that you go from them changing the glory of God and God giving them up to this uncleanness of dishonoring their bodies and moving beyond that into the homosexual range. And there is a progression. You know, you got the adultery, and then you got the fornication, and then you got the next third thing on that list is uncleanness. And among the uncleanness is that homosexual action that takes place. So that man, it gets worse and worse. Like, for instance, go back to Galatians 5. And at verse 19 again, there's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and then it says lasciviousness. And that's an interesting word. That's one of those words that I learned from the Bible. It's certainly not in my vocabulary, going through school and everybody. I don't know people that use that term. It's certainly a biblical term that the best I can describe it, they talk about it the different ways. The best way I can describe lasciviousness is unbridled lust. It's uncontrolled. And that's what I mean. If you look, you start out with adultery. You also got fornication, so you got married or unmarried. Then uncleanness, which is a progression of that fornication. And then lasciviousness, which is you're totally controlled by your lust. Unbridled, no control over that lust. And so it gets worse. Now you notice in that list from Galatians chapter 5, the first four that we just talked about, every one of them relates to a sexual sin. And that, you know, that stands to reason. We are physical beings, and if we don't have God's Spirit within us, and you're going to have nothing but the flesh to control our life rather than the Spirit of God to control our life, certainly it's going to go into those physical type of sins, sexual lusts that's going to control a person's life, and that's the first four on that list. Those are certainly the first four manifested, that the works of the flesh are manifested this way. But they go other ways as well. And that's in verse 20. It continues the list. And the next one is idolatry. And idolatry, okay, now we've gone past the sexual sins, but there's other type of lust that control a person. And idolatry can be, as in the Old Testament, the worship of idols. But what an idol is in the Old Testament, when he said, "Thou shalt have no other god before me," an idol is putting something before God. And where we live in a society, and if you lived over in the Hindus, and you'd have 9 million gods or whatever number of gods they have, so you'd have all kinds of gods, and they would all be accepted before God, the true and living God, because if they even would accept him, he's just one of their gods. By the way, that's what Dan Gross made me aware of. He travels, he knows how the different cultures work. And Billy Graham used to go into an area like that, and he would get a massive amount of people to come forward to receive Jesus Christ. But he says, if you think about what those people are doing, they already got 900 gods sitting over there on their shelf, and you ask them to receive Jesus Christ, oh yeah, you got another one? I'll take him too. But that they would not put him above those others. And then if you put him above those others, he'd tell you they're nothing but devils, and you get rid of them. So that, anyhow, the whole point of idolatry is that which is replaces God, comes before God. And in our society, there's no doubt that is materialism. Come over to Colossians chapter 3. When I say no doubt, not because I said so. Colossians chapter 3. Another list, by the way. I don't know if I can make up all his lists. But anyhow, he starts out in Colossians 3 and verse 5. He said, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." So put to death the members upon the earth. And then he starts naming what the members upon this, you know, the flesh, would be involved in, that you're to die to, put to death. Mortify your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness. Hey, they match, don't they? Then he goes to inordinate affection. That would be your homosexuality. Evil concupiscence. Covetousness, which is idolatry. And so there is certainly, when you covet things, you're putting those things to fall under that area of covetousness, to put those things before God. And it is interesting because it's funny, like on Sunday morning we come to church, I often think as I'm driving down the street, even when I'm pulling out of my driveway, what the neighbors are doing, what the people on the street are doing. You see a guy out there, he's got this metallic painted boat, fishing boat, and he's polishing that boat, cleaning that boat. We're talking to, I had a friend, we go Saturday, go fishing, but he was so meticulous that I didn't want to fish with him anymore, because when you're all done fishing, you got to clean the boat. And man, I spent more time cleaning the boat than I did fishing. I don't think I want to go anymore. Anyhow, but you see people washing their cars, and it always interesting me how they'll wash the hubcaps and then put that black stuff on the tires. You can tell I don't wash my car much. I'm not putting them down for doing that, but when you think about it on a Sunday morning, you're wondering, you know, where God is in these people's lives. But you know what is important in their life, and it's certainly material things that they've, you know, saved up a lot of money, spent a lot of money on, and it becomes their idol in that sense. So that the flesh is not only sensual in the sense of sexual, but idolatry, it's things that replace God. Look at that next one on the list in Galatians 5, in verse 20. Interesting. Witchcraft. You get thinking about, well, wait a minute. People who are just controlled by the flesh, do they always get involved in witchcraft? And what witchcraft is, well, think about it. Look back at Galatians chapter 3. We've quoted it a million times. You probably have it memorized. He says, "O foolish Galatians," verse 1. "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you." When he's talking to them, you got the bewitched part, as if there's some bewitching here. But what it is, it's a persuasion contrary to the truth of God. So that when you talk about witchcraft, you can be putting that on the same line of a witchcraft would be like a spell being put on someone. That's what Paul seems to be accusing the Galatians, who have bewitched you. Someone put a spell on you that you would believe these things. And he points them back to the truth, because they were believing contrary to the truth, as if someone did some magic. And that witchcraft thus is associated with magic, it's associated with sorcery. And sorcery isn't just always the darkness. Now, those things go on in the world, let me tell you. We're hearing this week, I guess the first or anyhow, the, down in Detroit is a satanic church. And there's been some write-ups about what they do and what they express and what they teach. And it's everything you would expect in dark, satanic things. But even when you get into different clubs and some of the rituals they do in that club, there is a bunch of sorcery. There is a bunch of tricks in order to deceive. When I think about being bewitched, put under a spell, being deceived by magic. To me, I think of all the false teachers of the healing movement. That there is no difference in what's going on there. They're being bewitched, they're being tricked, they're under a spell. They're not the whole thing is contrary to the truth. And another idea of this witchcraft, I can't pronounce it, but it has to do with the word that we get our word pharmacy comes out of this word witchcraft. I learned that in the study of the book of Revelation when it talks about witchcraft in the book of Revelation, that it actually is a word where we get the name pharmacy from, which means drugs. Drugstore. And you know, whatever kind of drugs it is, it's something now that you're going to, those drugs have an effect on the mind, your perception of life and all. And so it's associated with idolatry and witchcraft in that list. Those last two, those idolatry and witchcraft, those are sins against God. There's sensual sins, those sexual sins. Now there are sins that are directly opposite of God. It's not the truth of God. It's not God being first, but sins that are contrary to God. Your flesh will work against God. Your flesh isn't looking for God in its life. But those are the works of the flesh. So continuing in verse 20 of Galatians 5, the next one is hatred. Now that one, first thing I think of is hatred is certainly the lack of love. There is hate, which means to love less, but hatred would be someone, would be the lack of love in the sense of putting, you know how we always say, God first, other second, yourself last. Well, hatred is you're first, forget about others, and don't retain God in your knowledge at all. Your flesh isn't going to operate that way. So that the idea of hatred there is you're thinking of number one first, and the lack of love toward others because everything first centers around you. Any other illustrations of that you have to, you know, in the political scene, in the privilege of voting, everybody votes for a candidate that'll do something for them. You know, like won't raise taxes. Is that really the primary reason to vote for someone? How it's going to affect you? Or do you vote for someone who's going to do something that's right? And so you get personally challenged in some of those areas. But the flesh, it's not going to think that way. It's just going to put number one first. The next one there is variance. And variance has to do with strife and contention. You start out with hatred, just like there was a progression in the sexual sins. Well, here you have hatred, so you're first and others are next, but then variance is strife and contention against the others. The ones that you hate, there's contention against them. So not only do you not put them first, you work against them in that area, in that idea of variance. Then the next one on that list is emulations. And emulations, synonym for that would be jealousy. And you can see the progression. There's hatred, there's variance, strife and contention. And really that's coming out of the fact of emulations that there's jealousy. If someone got something, I should have that. And you're mad at them for them having it and you not. So that you can see that these things are progressing as well. It's wanting it for yourself. When I think of it, in the sense of, come to Romans chapter 11 first. There's something close, they're not the same. In Romans 11, when Paul talks about his Gentile ministry, this is actually in the positive, it's not the emulations. But you have, when Paul says in Romans 11, he says, "For I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." So you got emulation there, and by the way, some of these got plural when you go through Galatians, but the emulation here is how he talked about provoking Israel to jealousy. But at the same time, emulation would not just be the idea provoked to jealousy, but for them to want to emulate a Gentile in the sense, and that's why he says, and save some, that they'd realize, okay, God has left us, but rather than just being angry about that, that it would wake them up to the point where then they would come as a Gentile comes to God, as a sinner, and he might save some of them. So there is this idea of not just, you know, they have it, I want it. Well, you can be it. You can be saved like them. And the idea of that would then would be in the idea of conforming. When you think of it in the negative of Galatians, the flesh and emulation and being jealous, there's actually the idea of conformity to the world. And that's Romans chapter 12 in verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, that's a believer can be transformed. That's what we're learning about. But the lost man who's just under the impulses of the flesh, the works of the flesh, the control of the flesh, he's going to be controlled to emulations, and it won't be to get saved. The world will cause him to be conformed to this world. And so you have in our society all those ones that are that are just conforming to, you know, whatever the latest fad is, whether it be dress or slang or whatever it might be. There's that conformity to the world. Back in Galatians chapter 5, again you'll see the progression. The next one is verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. Wrath. So that wrath here is actually the outbreak of all that stuff that's been building inside, that jealousy, that emulation, that hatred, all of that now, that variance, that strife that's been going on, it now kind of bursts itself out in the sense of wrath and becomes like a retaliation. It becomes an emotional rage, a physical or a verbal abuse. And so you can see that it's progressing, that it's building up in the flesh and then comes out as wrath. And then it's still not done because after that you have strife. And strife there would be causing problems. So you start out wrath, you're just angry and you've been jealous and all of that. But now you're actually causing the problems between other people. You're actually inciting argument and friction so that there's strife going on there. And all of that is coming out of flesh there. If you notice that after we passed witchcraft, we talk about hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, those are all related. Those are all sins toward man or mankind. So that you see the flesh doing those things. It'll sin sensually. It'll certainly sin against God, and it'll sin against man. Then the list continues in verse, the last two, still in verse 20. Seditions. That is the idea of being seduced in the sense of look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So you got that envying and strife, divisions there is the same idea there of seditions, of something being that so you've been seduced into something has caused division. It's what Romans 16, that's just a couple pages back, by the way. Romans 16, verse 17, when he closes that, the book of Romans, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. So there are those that cause divisions, and that's that idea of seditions there, someone who is actually seducing for the point of causing a division. So that goes on, and then the one after that in Galatians is heresies. And heresies certainly is teaching contrary to the truth. Like a heretic is not necessarily someone who believed wrong, that would just be false, false doctrine. But someone who been exposed to the truth and teaches error and continuously teaches error. You know, you got the idea of being seduced into divisions here, but heresies is someone who is teaching contrary to the truth. Paul, when he writes the Corinthians, he says, there must be heresies among you. I want to say that right because it'll show both parts of that. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18. He says, first of all, when you come together, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be, heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. So that the heresies, you're going to find out which one is teaching false, which one's teaching right. Look at Titus with me. Titus chapter 3. Verse 9, I get a lot of questions. I didn't mean to make fun of the person who asked, you know, is God causing the rain? I remember Carl had a whole message about that, where he's trying to figure out if the devil brings rain or God brings rain, and I don't think that's the answer to it. There was time, by the way, when God did bring rain and times when he brought drought based on his word to the nation of Israel. God does according to his word. God's not telling you that he's going to give you rain or he's not going to, today he'd tell you it rains upon the just and the unjust alike. That God put things into motion and those things happen. But unless you had a verse that says God caused it, you can't say it. But anyhow, the point is, verse 9 when it says, avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law for the unprofitable. You can see that what's going on in there, it's not just someone who asked, you know, you're all afraid to ask a dumb question. That's not what he's talking about. Being a foolish question is not a dumb question. And dumb questions, the only dumb question is one that you don't ask. But this is asking a question in order to cause some problems, to kind of get people back into the Jewish genealogies, to cause contention and strifes, bringing people back under the law. All that is contrary to how God's working. And then he says, a man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So that foolish question is kind of like brought into the very idea of a man who is a heretic, someone who's trying to teach contrary to the truth. And it's connected to that idea of seditions and heresies. Now, by the way, back in Galatians 5, those two, they are sins against God's word. That's where I tie it in here. We're talking about a heretic and someone teaching contrary to God's word. So you got sins that are sexual type of sins, sensual sins. Then you got sins toward God, and then sins toward man, and then sins toward God's word. And then the list continues on. Go back to Galatians. Every word of God is important, so as we look at this, you know, to think that these are picked out are not just random. They're actually listed by the Holy Spirit to show the effects of the law and the works of the law manifesting this way. So you pick up in verse 21 with envyings, and that's that internal negative effect of jealousy. You know, jealousy might be the sin out here, that the sin that, but the effects of that jealousy is envy. Look at verse 26 of Galatians 5. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. He's certainly telling them in verse 25, if you live in the Spirit, let us walk after the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit is going to produce that fruit of the Spirit. But if you, the flesh being manifest is going to be verse 26, ending with envying one another. And that's certainly part of what the flesh is all about. But it moves internally. Even the very, when you get to the next one in verse 21, is murderers. And the works of the flesh or manifest murderers. Well, murderer, the idea of that is the thought or the action of premeditated murder, or killing if you want to use a different word. You know from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21, it talks about a person, how does it say that? He calls his brother Raca or something. Not quite as known as the adultery one. You have heard that it's been said in old time that thou shalt not kill. And that's the idea of premeditated murder. That's not going out to war and killing as God instructs to do. This is someone who upon themselves has taken on a premeditation, things in their thoughts of hatred towards someone where they're actually going to act on it and take their life away from them. Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever shall be angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. He's putting those on the same level as killing and murder, premeditated murder. But those are the things that come out of the flesh. And so murder is there. And 1 John 1:9 says, any man that hates his brother he is a murderer. I think it says worse than murder. He is a murderer. And John compares, especially in those last days where people are going to have to love one another to make it through that tribulation, he that hates his brother is a murderer. So it relates to that internal thought of the disregard of another person, the idea of even the thought of murdering another person. Anyhow, the next one on that list is drunkenness. And that's certainly one, as it says in Timothy, it says that an elder is not to be given to wine. And when it says drunkenness, what you're talking about is someone who's given over to it. And the flesh, man, left to itself, it has all kinds of addictions. One of them certainly would be alcohol, where he needs a good feeling, he needs a good uplift, he wants to be under the influence of the alcohol, he don't want to be in his state of mind, comes home from work, he's had a hard day, he just wants to drink and forget about the world. And that's someone who gives themselves over to alcohol, and they become a drunkard. And that's, we're talking about works of the flesh, and then later will be the fruit of the Spirit. Well, you got that verse in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But left to the flesh, the works of the flesh are manifest, and certainly drunkenness is in the list. Revilings is there. That has the reveling, riotous, rebels, carousing. Let me read you Romans 13. It says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, it's going into dark secret corners, and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. The works of the flesh are always contrary to the works of the Spirit, and among that is that rioting, and that's certainly, when you talk about reveling, that's what you're talking about, someone, you got drunkenness, what's the next thing they do? Well, they go out and fight and do all kinds of that carousing around. Then the next thing on that list in chapter 5 is drunkenness, revilings, and then it ends with, and such like. And that's interesting because the works of the flesh aren't done, and the works of the flesh, we live in a time in which today what we do is you have, like for instance, drunkenness. Well, you say, a person, well, he's not a drunkard, he's just a person with addictions. So what we do a lot of times is we take and rename a sin or a work of the flesh and give it another name. Well, Paul got us, the Holy Spirit got you. Because you give it a name, any name you want, but if it's like these, of the such like, then you're caught. So you can rename it or declare that you got some other thing and it's not in that list, therefore it's not the works of the flesh. No, you've been caught by that. That kind of is an encompassing word of the things that the flesh produces. So he brings that to an end and then makes that statement, as I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And we're talking about those that are not only in the flesh, but certainly because they're in the flesh, it's going to be manifest, and they are going to do those things. And he's just pointing out the works of the flesh. He's not identifying. He's not trying to say the believers that do this or anything like that. It just, these are the works of the flesh. And the whole thing is, in order for you not to fulfill the lust of the flesh, walk in the Spirit. And you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he warns you that. Now, I actually do want to talk about those other lists next week, and then a couple interesting facts that are not necessarily in the book of Galatians, but just look, facts that we can learn by looking at those lists that Paul made. And it won't be next week, but it'll be 2 weeks from now that we're going to look at that again and then continue on. Maybe I'll tease you this way. Did you count how many were in that list? Well, let me just, don't do it now. Count how many are there, and then count how many fruit of the Spirit, and then scratch your head. Let's pray. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for you talking to us clearly about what our flesh is like, so that we can rejoice in the fact of what we've learned, that we're not in the flesh but in the Spirit, that circumcision that's made without hands has freed us from those things. And Father, we now pray that we will take you up on the things that you said about walking in the Spirit, allowing your Holy Spirit to control our life, for us being full of your word and delighting in your word and the riches of your word, where you internally change the way we think, the way we love, the way that our own heart within us reacts. So, Father, we thank you for the study of Galatians and the truth that's here and the things that you say to us that are straightforward. And it also helps us to understand the world that we live in and what operates in them and why they live the way they do and why things are progressively worse. And help us then to give them the gospel that there might be a change in their life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.